Lord, Father, we ask that you would be with us as we look into your word. Lord, let us be confronted with who you are. And let us be confronted with your truth. Let us not lift up our own opinions, because our opinions are meaningless. Our opinions will pass, but your word will last forever. Lord, let us, as today, as we continue to look into what you say about the end days, Lord, let us not be filled with fear, but let us be filled with excitement, celebration, joy, because you're going to conquer sin and death in the physical world like you've already done spiritually. You're going to sit on a throne. You're going to rule, and we won't have to worry about the arguing and the fussing and the fighting, and because we'll have the truth. Well, Father, help us to look into your word and be changed. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Kindergarten through sixth grade. You have children's church. You can start to head that way. Kindergarten through sixth grade. Headed back. And while they are, I just want you to look around, and you probably see one of these in your seat somewhere close to you. Probably a few of them. And here's what these are. As a church, have moved into, we're going to be 10 years old soon, we're going to celebrate 10 years old, but for the last few years, God sent us a couple to lead up our missions effort, David and Linda, and so we're going, been to Mexico this year, South Carolina, going to be in Belize, but also we are going to be here and home. And this is part of the home missions that we're doing. There was a couple, an older couple, who had their home destroyed by a tornado. And we as a church are going to facilitate building a home for them. In doing so, we need to allow God to raise money for us in a way. And so here's what we're asking, that you take these letters, pray about them. If you want to just put them on your refrigerator just to remind you to pray, do that. But if you feel led, like you know some people that would be willing to help, either through skills, through ability, through talent, or through financial help, if you know some prayer warriors, send this letter to them and sign your name. That we didn't sign any name, but sign your name to it as you send it to them, and let them know, hey, this is a project that I think you might want to be a part of. We know God's going to take care of it. God's already got a lot of it taken care of. We've got wood that's already ready to go. We have some ply. A company has donated just, I don't know what you'd call it. It wouldn't be a pallet, but a stack of plywood. And so we have lots of things ready to go. It's just, okay, now we're in that next step. Let's get the rest of the finances together. Let's get the help together. And you can see David or Linda, but David's kind of heading this one up. His phone number's on there. You can call me, but most likely what I'm going to do is tell you, call David. Okay? And so my number's on there also, but you can call David. And if you've ever wondered what my phone number is, there it is. It's on there also. And so you can have my number. But y'all be praying about that. I'm excited about how God is using us to change the world. And so take those. That's what these are for. Put it on the refrigerator or mail them to some people that you know that would love to be a part of this project. Okay? Today we're going to be in Matthew 24. Again, we're going to stay in Matthew 24, like I said, for a few weeks, red letter days. And again, red letter day, back when you had paper calendar, was a very important day. All the holidays were red letter days, was a red letter day, or Sunday was a red letter day. And when we say red letter, they were in red ink. And so it meant an important day. And so we know that red letter days leading up to the end, those last 7 years are important days, because that's when God will deal with Israel and show Israel that Jesus is the Messiah. But what leads up to that? We also want to look at what Jesus said. And I know there's lots of other places in Scripture that talk about the end days. Of course, Revelation, you got Daniel, Ezekiel, there's lots of other places. But we wanted to see what Jesus said. And when we see sometimes, and some of the newer translations, not as much, but especially old, you knew if it was in red letters who said it. Jesus said it. That's right. Jesus said it. It was in red letters. So we wanted to see what Jesus had to say about the end days. Now, as we talk about these end days, just know that nobody knows when the day is exactly. If you ever hear somebody claim that they know what day it is, just write them off. Okay? Don't listen to them anymore. They're a heretic. Even Jesus said, look, and Jesus said, nobody knows the day or the time. He says, only the Father, and we talked about that 2 weeks ago. It had to do with the marriage custom, okay? If you weren't here, it has to do with the groom goes away to prepare a place for the bride. You remember what Jesus said? I go to prepare a place for you. Remember that? He says, when you're ready, I'll come back. And the only person that can, during that time, as the groom would go and prepare a place, the only person that could say the place was prepared was the Father. And when the Father said, hey, the place is ready, you can go get your bride, then he was able to go get his bride. So that's why Jesus said that. Nobody knows the time, the date. Nobody knows any of those things. Okay, so nobody knows that. We do know this, that we're closer now than we've ever been, because every day that we live, we get closer. Okay? And I know people have been saying for years, it's on the horizon. It's going to be soon, very soon. And in the big scheme of things, I do believe it's going to be very soon. Throughout history, it could be now, it could be 100 years from now, it could, I don't know, 500 years from now, I don't think it'll be that, but I don't know, because only, who knows, the Father knows, right? But I believe it's going to be very soon. And why do we think that? Well, let's look at Matthew 24. We're going to read verse 4 again, but it'll be 24, 4 through 8. And Jesus said, keep watch, be careful, no one fools you. Now, we covered that last week. Last week, we said that there was going to be a delusion, a deception that comes across the nation, across the world, and that many people would be deceived. And we went to Romans 1 to look at what deception is. And we've seen how deception has increased greatly in the world. It's been increasing and has greatly increased. So we have to be careful that no one fools you, okay? In verse 5, many will come in my name. They will claim, I'm the Messiah. They will fool many people. You will hear about wars. You will also hear people talking about future wars. Don't be alarmed. Those things must happen. But the end still isn't here. Nation will fight against nation. Kingdom will fight against kingdom. People will go hungry. There will be earthquakes in many places. All these things are the beginning of birth pains. The beginning of birth pains. Do you remember, if the ones that were married, the ones who've had kids, you're getting close to the time, have a baby. We have Gracie. She has 10 days. We're praying for Gracie. We're excited for Gracie, 10 days. But pretty soon, you're going to have some birth pains. Ladies that had children, you remember the birth pains? Yeah? You knew something was about to happen. You knew something was different. And here saying, hey, there's these things that are happening. Something different's about to take place. Some new thing is about to happen. And here are the birth pains that you need to look for. One, it says, hey, there's going to be many who claim to be the Messiah. Many who claim to be the Messiah. Now, it's kind of strange that we don't hear about them as much as we used to. I think just because we don't, they don't focus on them. But if you ever go, anybody watch documentaries? I love a documentary. I love a good documentary. Man, there have been some people who've claimed to be Messiah, and they have made people do incredibly evil things. And we have seen this throughout history, and Jesus said that this will happen. Just in our nation, you can think about those cults that have led people to murder, those cults that have led people to really commit suicide. Even just recently, as the comet came through, you heard just thousands of people drinking Kool-Aid. What would make people do this? Because these people were fooled, believed that their leader really was the Messiah. We have to be careful. He said there's going to be many that come that do that. And really pointing ultimately to the Antichrist that will eventually come and claim to be the Messiah and fool the world. There's always going to be someone, but there is, just if you wanted to make note and do a little more research, there is a man, and I mispronounced his name pretty badly, but he is in the Middle East now who claims to be both Messiah for those who are believers and also the Imam for those who claim to be Muslim. He says he can unite the Muslim nation and the Christian nation and the Jewish nation through his heritage, and he has thousands of followers right now. Not saying he's the Antichrist. I'm just saying there's many that will come to claim to be the Messiah. And it can be easily fooled. We have to be on watch. We have to be careful. We have to always follow Scripture and compare anybody, any teacher that we listen to, any person that teaches, any person that pours into us, we have to compare their teachings to the Scripture, because the Scripture is paramount above everything else any teacher could ever tell you. And if anybody goes against Scripture, if any teaching is against Scripture, and that person claims that, yes, I'm above Scripture, you know that they have a spirit of Antichrist. They may not be the Antichrist, but they have the spirit. They want to destroy the message of God, twist it, change it. Why? For their benefit. So we have to watch for that, and we do see that. We have seen that even in our nation, and we see this around the world even now, that there are people who are claiming to be the Messiah on the earth. We will always have that since the time of Christ. So this is hard to look at and say, is there an increase in people who claim to be the Messiah? This is a hard one to look at, a hard one to really make note of. It's a hard one to put on a chart. What we can say is this happening? Yes, this is happening. Has it happened really since the time of Christ? Yes, this has happened since the time of Christ, okay? And so let's put this one on the back burner. Is this one being met? Absolutely. Is this a birth pain? We see it. Yes, it can be one. But sometimes, ladies, what's it called when you have those fake contractions? You know what I'm talking about? They know. Men, we're like, we don't know. But y'all know. Okay? So this could be that. You could be looking and go, okay, is that? But then the next one, Jesus says, here's what you have to look for. He says, wars and rumors of wars are future wars. This is something that we can put on a chart. You do a little bit of research, you can look at it and say, has the number of wars, we call them conflicts now, by the way. Most of the time they're not wars, they're conflicts. So if you start to do your research, you have to look up conflicts, okay? And so we look at these conflicts, these wars around the world. Have they increased? Has it increased really in the last few years? Has it over the last 100 years or so? And if you do some research, you can see since the 1600s, we've had an increase every century since the 1600s, minus there's one outlier, really two outliers, World War I, World War II, just because it included so many nations. You have a spike, and then you come to the 2000s, and there's a decrease. It comes, but you hadn't had a world war. We're only 25 years into this. But we are still, even in the 2000s, we are above the 1600s in wars and conflict, and the number of war and conflicts that we've had. We are higher in the 2016, we're only 25 years in. So do we see an increase in wars and in future wars and rumors of wars? We do. In fact, as you research, you will see that a lot of people say that we are on the edge, and not to be doom and gloom, but we're on the edge of many conflicts all over the world right now, that the world is a very violent place, a place where there could be a conflict that breaks out at any moment. And so if we're looking at the Scripture, and if you're looking at, okay, wars and rumors of wars, really talking about there's going to be this increase in war, this increase in violence, and this is exactly what we see really since the 1600s. And then Jesus says, in the middle of this, there will be kingdom will fight against kingdom, nation against nation. Then it says that people will go hungry. This is kind of weird for me. It's just kind of there, you know, something that just kind of sticks out. Which one doesn't go along with the others? And so it's just there. But they go together in a way, because as we look at this, as we see this, we see that the hunger or the shortage of food, part of the reason that there are a shortage of food is because of the wars and the conflicts. It's part of the reason. They're connected. Now, I challenge you to look these things up. You can write them down, look them up, and find your own research. Make sure I'm not just making things up, because you know a lot of statistics are made up on the fly, but really look this up. But over 700 million people in 2023 suffered from hunger of some sort. That would be 150 million more people since 2019. Let me just throw those numbers out there, because numbers can get jumbled. When you give me a phone number, you got to give me two numbers at a time. Anybody else? Yeah? Okay. Yeah. All right. Somebody gives you the whole number at one time, I'm like, what did you say? My wife can put it in. I'm like, ah. But not me. All right. So over 700 million people in the year 2023 suffered from some type of hunger, and that would be up from 2019 by 150 million people. Other places say that it's more than 800 million that have a severe food shortage. And when we say severe food shortage, that they go without food for a day at a time. Why does this matter? Well, it matters because they're hungry, but in this, as we look at this scripture that we see in 2024, since 2024, you have at least 6 years where the food shortage has gotten worse. The food shortage has increased every year. So you go 6 years back, as of 2024. The last 6 years, the food shortage has increased. That's over 53 countries. And it says that a crisis level hunger, these people will starve to death. That there will be almost 3 million people across the 53 countries that starved to death, which is a 5% increase from 2023 to 2024. People, it says, will go hungry. For me, when I read this and I was doing the research, I said, that can't be. I can go, because we live in a country of more than enough. We throw food away, and I'm not saying that to make you feel guilty in any way, okay? God blessed us. I'm so glad I can go to a buffet today, which I'm not, but maybe I will. I don't know. But so glad that I can. And sometimes it puts blinders on us. And a lot of times we take the Scripture and we only apply it to the United States, and Scripture is not far only the United States. It's for Israel and then the Gentiles. Okay, we're part of the Gentiles. So when it says there will be wars and rumors of wars, or wars and future wars, they will increase. And that increase in war will also contribute to people going hungry. Then, and that will increase. People going hungry will increase around the world. Sometimes we forget that, because we live in a very safe place with plenty of food. The rest of the world, not so much. There's been an increase in war, an increase in hunger. In fact, in 2024, we had a record in conflict since 1946. A record in different conflicts around the world. 2023 was the most violent year, according to UN, was the most violent year since the end of our Civil War. There's an increase in violence, war, and hunger. Now, the next thing it says that not only will there be an increase in these things, war, okay? So people will claim to be Messiah. We're saying, okay, that one's marked, right? Marked, okay? These are the birth pains. You can mark. Wars and future wars. Wars will increase. Check. We can check that one. An increase in people going hungry. Check. We can check that one. There's an increase. We see that. And in fact, not only is it war, but it says that the number of famine-like conditions doubled from 2023 to 2024 by 1.9 million incidents, just little areas, okay? So it has increased hunger, wars, and now it talks about earthquakes. Now, here's a tricky one. I just put earthquake, really? Question mark. Here's why. We don't keep records so well on earthquakes, really, before mid-1900s. I mean, if it was a really big one, somebody would write it down. Hey, we had an earthquake. But before that, not so much. I mean, a little tremor. Okay, so when we lived in Virginia, I tell you this all the time because it shook my world. We were in Virginia, we're in the house, and the house started shaking a little bit. Nothing came off the walls or anything, but it shook a little bit. I felt really small because the whole world was shaking under me. There's nothing like that at all. I've never felt anything. And I was like, whoa. And I went to church the next time we had church, and I was like, did y'all feel that earthquake? And they were like, yeah, it happens all the time. Like, it was no big deal. I'm like, this is something I need to write home about. They're like, no, it happens like that all the time. And so a lot of those small ones never got reported. The ones that got reported were the really big ones. And so can we know if there's been an increase in earthquakes? We really can't look at that. We really can't know. If you look at the chart, it looks like there's an increase, but that's because we have better and more equipment that's placed out in the world. And so we can't really know that, but we can know that our understanding of earthquakes and the number of earthquakes has increased. We can say that, but we can't say that the number of earthquakes has increased, okay? Some people are going to tell you that they have, but there's no data for that. There's no way for us to back that up. It's not fair to use that, is it? Okay? So, but we can say that there are earthquakes. And in this idea of earthquakes, you could put natural disasters, but it says earthquakes here specifically, okay? Some people want to include those natural disasters with the earthquakes. But here it says earthquakes in many places. We can now know that there are earthquakes all over the world, and anytime there is one, the world knows about it. And all these things are the birth pains. Now, what does all this mean? Because you can get lost in the numbers about hunger has increased, famine-like conditions has increased, wars have increased, the conflicts have increased. You could look at all this. What does this mean for us as believers? Why is this important? Well, here's why. We should understand what the gospel and what the Bible says at its root. God created everything perfect. Yes? You remember when he said everything is good. In fact, he said, very good. Created Adam and Eve there. There were no thorns and thistles when you were going to plant your garden. That's part of the curse. Can you imagine planting a garden without weeds? Wow, that would be amazing. Okay? I would love that. I hate weeds. Work was not hard. We had work, but it wasn't hard. It wasn't difficult. Not conflict. There was plenty. There was more than enough. There was plenty of food. All that Adam and Eve had to do was go into the garden and pick what they wanted to eat that day from every tree, every plant except for the one. So they had more than enough, perfect, with plenty, with abundance. Okay, they knew who the Christ was. They knew who the Messiah was. God would walk with them, and most scholars believe that was Jesus who would walk with them in the garden. you would have no earthquake, you would have no flood, you would have no tornadoes, hurricanes, natural disasters. It was a perfect place. But because sin enters the world because of the actions of Adam and Eve, you now have perfection that has been corrupted. And we're going from perfection to corruption. And when you go from perfection to corruption, and you think about things going to corruption, things are getting worse and worse and worse. And if God doesn't intervene, then the destruction would totally destroy the earth and all of us. We even see that within the human body, okay? The mutations, the sickness, the diseases that we have as we were perfect, and now you're going to imperfection or corruption. Our genetic code is becoming sicker and more sick and more diseased. And look, side note, that's the reason that Adam and Eve's kids could marry each other and have kids. I know you're like, that's gross. I know. That's because that's what we're in our culture. Don't marry your sister, okay? I know we're in Mississippi, but don't marry your sister, okay? Your genetic code's messed up. But Adam and Eve's genetic code was perfect. And so their children could have children without passing on these harmful diseases. It was later that God said, no, you cannot marry close relations. Why? Because of the opportunity, the chance of passing on sicknesses and diseases. We also see this in the world. You remember what we talked about last week, the deception? Watch this. So if God created the world perfect, and what we see here is a decline. Spiritual, human, physical, in every aspect, we see in this right here a decline. Okay? Mentally, being deceived, wars and violence, a spiritual away from God, hunger, this physical earthquake, physical, you see all these things. There's a decline. Until Jesus returns. Our hope at this point is Jesus. This is what he's pointing to. Our hope is Christ. Apart from him, we have no hope because we will descend. We will fall into destruction, corruption, a place where we can't pull ourselves out of as a world, as a people, as a race. It's one race, human race. Is we're coming down. We can't recover unless something intervenes. Are you nerds out there? Second law of thermodynamics. Order to chaos unless something intervenes. But the world wants you to believe that we went from corruption and chaos, and we're moving towards perfection. They use the word evolution. Now watch the difference, okay? If we were created perfect, you with me? The world was perfect in every way. And now we're fallen. And sin came into the world, corrupted it, and now corruption's having its way. Sin's having its way with people, animals, the world, everything. We're falling into corruption. We can agree that death is the enemy. Yes? That death came because of sin. The world says we started off in chaos. And death is our hero because through lots and lots of death, we will move to perfection. See how the deception works? You see how easy it is for us to fall into that trap? The Bible says that death is the enemy. Corruption is the enemy. And there's only one hope. Things will continue to get worse until the end. And the only hope is Christ. The world will say, no, 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 no. Death is the victor. And when death finally has its way, then we will finally stand perfected. Death is the savior that the human race looks to, according to the world. So what I would have you leave with today is this shift in the way that we think. Not that we leave here thinking that the end is scary, but that the end is incredible. Leviticus, you know, we just went through the study on that on Wednesday, and we talked about the Sabbath. Saturday, really, that Sabbath. 6 days in the week, then you rest on the Sabbath day, and how it really points to Christ. And in this same way, we can look at it and think that we're in this world, and the world is in the week, and what we're looking for is Saturday. I don't know about you, but the work week normally doesn't just get better. Anybody that gets better for you? It usually gets a little worse as the day. Monday's usually not that fun. Tuesday's really not that fun. Wednesday, you're halfway there. You try to convince yourself that it's hump day and you're okay and you're going to make it. But really, it's not good. Thursday, you're wore out. Okay? Thursday, you're wore slam out. And Friday, you're just walking death, baby. You're just like, if I can make it through today, if I can make it through the day, I need this to end. I need to fall into my rest. I'm wore out. I'm tired. I've got to. And this is what we see here in the scripture. Jesus is saying things are going to get worse in this work week until you finally enter into your rest, and your rest is me. So Monday's tough. Tuesday's tough. Wednesday's tough. And now we're getting Thursday and Friday, and things are getting worse. And now we're just looking for our rest. This is our hope. This is our hope. So when we look at this and we say, hunger's getting worse, conflicts, wars are increasing, there's more and more people that are being deceived. And we know they're being deceived because they don't even make sense sometimes anymore. What it tells us is these are all signs of the end. And I don't know about you, but signs of the end on Friday are good. Like you get to lunch, that's good because lunch means I'm halfway done on Friday. I'm almost there. I'm almost there. And so when we look at these things, yes, we should still strive to feed the hungry. We should still be the church. We should still be the hands and feet of Christ. But we understand that corruption and sin rule in this world right now. Okay, and we're going from perfection to corruption. And one day on that Friday when quitting time happens and the horn sounds. I don't have a horn anymore. I'm thinking about Fred Flintstone, though. You remember? When the horn sounds. When the archangel cries. When Jesus comes back. All these things end. Wars are done. Hunger done. Natural disasters finished. Those who claim to be the Messiah, gone. Because our rest is finally here. So I want you to leave encouraged. Because sometimes you can leave a message about the end times. Again, my thing is, I want us to see the end time as a great time to celebrate as we looked 2 weeks ago, as the groom is coming back for the bride, as we're going to have a celebration that we get to enter into this place of rest. And yes, the studies show that all these things are increasing. This is what we should expect. This is what we should see. This is what we should really anticipate. Are things going to get better? They might for a little while, but overall, things are going to continue to get worse. That's the reason God told us to be the salt and the light. Salt is to preserve, to keep from spoiling. Look, you want things to get better? Be more salty. Some of you are like, I know, my wife's real salty. I don't mean that way. mean, spiritually, be more salty. You want things to get better? Let the light reflect off you a little more. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Let it shine. The church, the bride of Christ, us, we are put into place to help stop the corruption, to help slow the corruption. We're going to see where there's a decline, a departing from the church next week. We're going to look at that. And as people leave the church, as people leave Christ, you have less salt, less light. And as you have less salt, less light, of course, corruption is going to increase quickly. Look at the few things that we looked at. I mean, if people were following Christ, do you think we would have more conflict or less? If people are following Christ, do you think we would have fewer people that are hungry or more people that are hungry? It's that departing when the salt and the light are removed, there's less. The corruption increases. So what's the best thing that we can do right now, right here? Be salt and light. That's the best thing that we can do. To be the salt and the light. And you're like, but all these things are happening around the world. I get it. But where you are, be the salt and the light where you are. And I was thinking about this and I'll be done. And I was thinking about this because, you know, I've kind of gotten interested in some of those old things that we used to do and how people would salt ham and do all that. Not that I've tried it yet because I'm scared I'll die if I make it and eat it. But I do want to try it. You got to have a little salt box. Y'all know what a salt box is, right? That's where you keep your... That's right, salt. And then you'd put your... that old pork leg in there and you'd cover it with salt and you'd leave it for a few days or maybe even a few weeks and then you would pull it out and a lot of people put it in smokehouse from there. But as I was thinking about that, because it seems so overwhelming. If you watch the news, are you overwhelmed? Because I am. And as I was just thinking through this, the Lord's like, it's a big job. It's overwhelming. But all I've asked you to do is be one grain of salt. One grain. One crystal. That's all I've asked you to do. And then if all of us together are salt, then we can hold back more corruption. But he's just asking me to do what one grain of salt will do. You put one grain on a old ham leg, you're not going to cure it much, are you? Takes a box full. And sometimes we think that we have to do the job of a box full of salt. But God says, I want you to be one grain. I want you to, where you are in your home, men, as a father, I want you to be salt in your house. Church, I want you to be salt in your workplace. Wives, I want you to be salt in your home life. I want you to keep the corruption at bay because you are sharing the Word of God. You're living it out. You're not just talking about it, but you're actually living it out. You're an example of what it is to be godly. That's what we do. I'm so thankful that I'm here and we all know that we're messed up. You come here, you be real. But here's the thing about being real, that God loves us just the way that we are, but He loves us so much He won't keep us this way, that He will change us and He will cause us to be something that we're not and lead us to do things that we can't. And we get to be something, be part of something bigger than we are, and we get to be just a ball, a salt box. And as we are these imperfect people living together, and we're salt, and we're starting to see, and we've seen this. And I say it all the time because it just doesn't happen everywhere, guys. That we've seen marriages that were falling apart and they were done. And God said, no, you're not. And we've seen where God puts them back together. We've seen kids that are running far from Him. And because of the salt box, God keeps the corruption away and draws them back like a prodigal son. We've seen these things. We've seen people that were addicted, that had never been free. And God sets them free because of the salt box. Man, I'd almost, if we're going to, our hope one day is to help plant another church, salt box church, that would be cool. But anyway, because that's what we are, salt box. Old timers would get it, and people were like, anyway, I just don't want us to be scared of the end times, where we just cover up and we store up food and we're hiding in our basement with our guns. Nothing wrong with having any of those things. Have those things. I had some, and they all sank somewhere. Have all those things. But be excited that our Savior's coming back to stop the corruption. That we can hold it at bay, but He stops it. He puts an end to it. So much so, He says, death, you're done. And Revelation says He wipes away every tear. Takes away every sickness. Everything that sin has done, He wipes away. Church, I'm going to ask that you stand, and how we're going to pray today is that I would ask that you would pray how you can be salt in your own life and your own lives. Where are you going to be a grain of salt? Are you that grain of salt at work, at home? Fathers, are you that grain of salt? Dad, can you look at your kids and say, I want you to follow me as I follow Christ? If not, we need to be more salty. Wives, we see this in Scripture. Can your husband look at you and say, that's a godly woman? Worth more than rubies. If not, be more salty. Whatever God would have you do, I pray that you would follow Him. And some of us need to come to the altar and just repent and say, God, I'm sorry. I need you to do something different in my life. I want you to make a big difference. And no matter where you're at in your life, watch this, okay? I'll be 50 years old next year. That means I've got about 25 years left. The way I eat, maybe 20. That means I have fewer days in front of me than I do behind me. If the end days aren't coming, they're coming for me. Number your days. Lord, Father, I pray that as we open up this altar, Lord, that You would convict us. Lord,